Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we begin, I want to remind you all to join the new Union Sports Goalkeeping Community, a social media network that reimagines how we engage, educate, and entertain one another. To download free, go to www.theunionsports.com or the Union Community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show.
Welcome to Inside the 18, live from the Philadelphia United Soccer Coaches Convention. I'm Michael Magid, flying solo today because 99 World Cup winner Saskia Weber is too busy being on television at CBS Paramount. Shout out to Saskia Weber on her new gig over at CBS for the NWSL draft. But joining me right now is our very first guest here live at convention is the one and only Pixelot CEO himself, Yossi Tarablus, did I say it right?
I'm not the CEO yet, but the VP marketing.
Vice President of Marketing. Okay, very cool. So whoever the CEO is out there, I apologize for that. Please don't cancel me. So Yossi, for the people out there who are not familiar with Pixelot, which are probably a lot of people out there right now, tell us a little bit about Pixelot.
So Pixelot is the world's leader in automated sports production. We basically pioneered the concept of automatic production in the way that sports is being captured, produced, and live streamed. What we have basically is a technology that allows you to simulate the work of a camera operator and a production company and make one game completely produced to the cloud. So if it's a soccer, football, basketball, everything is done automatically. We are capturing the entire field using a 4 or 2 lens camera, taking the panoramic super picture, and have a virtual camera operator follow pan, tilt, and zoom on the players based on the game state. And it simulates the work of a camera operator, produces it, and streams it up to the cloud. After that, you can get not only monetize that content through either a paywall, advertiser, or whatever. You analyze the game. So it goes, you can break it down. You get automated highlights of each player, of each event that happened during the game. So we provide both the analytics and the monetization and, of course, the production. So currently we are producing upwards of 5,000 to 7,000 games every day.
Wait, what? 5,000 to 7,000 games?
Yes, we are the biggest sports production platform in the world today.
Okay.
In 2022, we produce 1.1 million games.
Okay.
The majority of them are from high school, colleges, and universities, and lower division leagues around the world. Games that were never produced before. We are not replacing the camera operator.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the budget to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think one of the things, you know, and we're going to talk about this once we get into the topic today, which is going to be talking about AI and how it can benefit goalkeepers and goalkeeper coaches out there. But, you know, one of the things that happens a lot of times, and I get this a lot of times from whether it's a goalkeeper or a different type of position. Let's just say that the camera doesn't follow a lot. Let's say it's a left back that doesn't receive a lot of service or whatever, is they go, you know, it's very difficult for me to get footage of myself or my players to properly scout or to properly see how the development's going.
So it's a good question, and that's why we are working with the top clubs in the world to have that footage around the clock. For example, our work with FC Barcelona, perhaps the most innovative club in the world. We've been working with them for 5 years. We're also part of the Barcelona Innovation Hub. And one of the things that they're doing with us is basically filming every player that steps on a field from the under 10 to the pros, using our technology, because we are providing them with the panoramic feed. And that panoramic feed is not used only for the games. It's also used for the practice sessions, because you can basically have all the players on the field training or playing and cut specific areas of the field to follow that player. So if it's a goalkeeper and there is a goalkeeper practice right now happening while the other players are playing or practicing, you can focus on only the goalpost or only the goalkeeper and making sure that everything during that practice session or the game is documented and brought to you to analyze and possibly, you know, create also the recruiting video that everybody's looking to get.
So question for you, like, I mean, this sounds incredible, first off, what you're doing out there. And by the way, we're not doing this like an infomercial or anything like that. It's just more of just like, I'm fascinated by this. But like, how the heck did you get involved in a project like this?
Well, as every our co-founder, we had our founders, Dr. Miki Tamir and Gal Oz, came from...
Wait, can you say that name again? Because that sounds like a very... very fancy name. Say that again.
Dr. Miki Tamir and Gal Oz.
Okay.
Dr. Miki Tamir is the one of the most incredible individuals, innovators in the sports technology world. He's also behind Track 160, Pixelot, and other companies as well in the sports tech industry. And Gal Oz and him were working with LiveView. LiveView basically created the stats revolution for the NBA. And after they sold the company, they went and understood that, you know, there is a need for all the sports happening in the game to be captured all the time. And they created a platform that allows professional production companies to capture the entire game all the time, the high-end games.
Yeah.
But then they understood that the actual opportunity is in the games that were not produced. Today, gotcha. 99% of the world of sports is off camera. Nobody knows, nobody sees.
Yeah.
So did it happen or not? Some people say.
I mean, how many times have you seen like just all of a sudden the reaction by the audience in the crowd? And they're like, well, you guys have no idea what just happened right here. Hold on, let's see if we can get a replay of that.
Because, exactly.
Because the camera didn't follow it.
Because the camera didn't follow it or the by the way, some of the other companies that are doing automated highlights or automated you know, AI type of technology, they use the audience audio to also predict what happens. You know, they know that, you know, if the audience shouting, something happened.
Yeah.
And that's a highlight that you need to understand. So a company like WSC Sports, who's doing a lot of the highlights, is doing that as well. So AI and, you know, audio feed is one of the elements of this automation element.
You know, one of the things, and then we'll get to that once we start talking about the topic of AI in general, but one of the things that always, you know, kind of freaks me out about AI outside of just, you know, this type of thing is that kind of the ability of like, it doesn't understand, you know, the sport. It doesn't understand the context or whatever. So it'll think that like, this is what you need to see. But in reality, you need to see something else. Like, is that ever a worry when you guys were putting that together? Is that something that you guys looked into?
It's a great question. And the fact, for example, that we have today, we are producing automatically 19 types of sports, and every sport has different rules, and these types of rules you know need to be perfected to the artificial intelligence algorithms.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know, when you have a futsal game or a basketball game or a handball game, European handball, it's on the same court.
Yeah.
It happens a lot on the same court.
Have you played that game, by the way?
Which
European
one?
European handball? Like the team
of
handball?
Of course. Both my sons play it.
Wait, what?
Yes. Both my sons play European handball. It's an amazing game. Very physical.
Why don't we play it here in the United
States? I have no idea.
We seriously need to play this game.
This is an incredible game. Very popular in Europe, in Eastern Europe, especially Slovenia, Serbia. Giant guys. Amazing.
You bring up a really good point when you bring up team handball, because I'm thinking about sports like hockey. Hockey is awful on TV. I'm sorry. Like, it's not... It's very difficult to follow the puck on TV.
It's very awful to follow the puck with a human eye. Actually, okay. With AI, it's easier because the puck is black and the ice is white. So the algorithm and the computer vision, you know, follows the puck much better sometimes than the human operator.
Okay.
But having said that, one of the things that you talked about is the game state and identifying the game state and understanding, you know, the difference between a game that is happening on a football field or a soccer field. American football and soccer often are in the same field.
Yeah.
So the algorithms need to be calibrated. And in our systems, we calibrate the game beforehand. So we know that, hey, on 9 o'clock, there starts a football game. At 10:30 starts a soccer game.
Oh, that would be terrifying.
And then at 12, a lacrosse game. So it's on the same field, but you need to make sure that the algorithms follow it based on the game state and based on the rules of that specific sport.
Because otherwise the camera will literally, I was just literally just thinking about that. It's like, you think American football dominates right now? Imagine if AI believes that American football dominates as well, and it just keeps the camera angle the whole time. just on American football. Like that would be rough on soccer.
And in the high school space in the U.S., which is our biggest market, we are installed in about 10,000 high schools, which is half the high schools in the States with the NFHS. We are creating a lot of highlight reels and, you know, producing a lot of the football games that are happening there. But also, of course, on the same field happens a soccer game.
Yeah.
So sometimes you need to understand, you know, the different structure of the field in order to calibrate it correctly. But once you calibrate it once, that's it.
That's awesome. So let's kind of get into today's topic, guys. Today's topic is artificial intelligence and how it can benefit, you know, coaches and players out there. Obviously, Yossi knows a lot about this because of the fact that he's involved, you know, with a company like Pixalot. Yossi, there's probably some parents out there who are listening to this and go, AI, I don't know exactly what you mean by AI. What do you mean by AI?
I don't know. I'm not that smart.
Okay. You're not that
smart. No, it's AI is basically a set of rules that allows you to automate things and create a pattern recognition, making it much more easy to mimic the work of a human operator. Sometimes AI, let's say most of the time, AI is not 100% there. That's why you drove your car today here and not.
Yeah,
and
not I do not know how you feel about autonomous vehicles. That is, there was a movie in the 80s called Maximum Overdrive where the vehicles became autonomous. It did not go well for anybody. So,
but that's a good story.
Okay.
And that's why it's a movie.
That's true.
I have to say, you know, that because artificial intelligence in sports, you know, it doesn't have a negative impact on people's life. It doesn't kill anyone if the AI is 98% there, not 100%.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
So that's why the adoption is much better, because it's much better than nothing, because a lot of the production, for example, and the video were previously unavailable. And now with AI, it becomes much more affordable and available. So is it 100%? No, it will never be 100%. That's why we're not replacing any camera operators in the world. We are actually creating more content, and these camera operators become, and I will tell you a story about, you know, how AI can actually make things, make more labor, human labor. And so the AI will
that's
never.
That's actually a really good point. Just really quickly before you say that, because I think that's a little concern out there by a lot of people, is they go, okay, if there's no human element to this, you know, how can I trust it? I know so-and-so has been working with my kid and they've got a good eye. How am I going to trust a computer now as opposed to so-and-so? And so-and-so is like, I'm going to lose my job because they're just going to be using AI instead of hiring actual scouts.
So I will actually tell you, and I will quote you, one of the Barcelona trainers that we work. We work with Barcelona and Real Madrid and Bayern Munich and Sociedad and Benfica and all the top clubs in the world, Southampton, all the top clubs in the world, Watford with the women now. We never see technology and data make the final decision without a human involvement.
Yeah.
All the feedback that we get from the clubs, especially, for example, the Barcelona, because we work with them on a daily basis, they always tell us, you know, at the end of the day, nothing will replace the experience and expertise of a professional person. The data helps. The data allows him to get a more educated decision. But at the end of the day, a decision like someone's career path or like someone's practice capabilities and development will not be created by a computer. It will be created by a combination of data from a computer and an experienced professional coach that has the capability to make that plan advance, to make that project go to the next level with the athlete or the entire team.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense right there. And I think, you know, a lot of people out there who have those concerns, you bringing the fact that it's about assisting the human element as opposed to taking away the human element.
Exactly. And, you know, whenever we talk about artificial intelligence, it always comes that angle of, hey, a lot of people are going to lose their job because of us.
Yeah.
And I had an event in one of the shows in Las Vegas that we explained what Pixalot does, automating the production and the video and the data analytics and everything. And a guy came to me and approached me and he said, you know, you're a very bad company because you're taking away my job. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I film hockey games. And I asked him, when was the last time you filled a second division under a 17 girls hockey practice?
Yeah.
I said, I never filmed that. Or a game or a tournament. He said, we never do that. And I said, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And that's why we will never replace you, because we can never replace a multi-camera production with an OB van and everything else. But we can provide video that allows a lot of parents, a lot of players, a lot of athletes to improve. And an athlete can improve twice as better if he sees what he does on the same day. So that's why speed is so important. That's why you have data to understand. You know, when you come back from practice after 3 or 4 hours, you get the video from that practice or from that game. You know exactly what you did, because it's in your mind, in your memory, in such a vivid way that will allow you to improve. And the chances of improvement goes exponentially higher if you're getting that video on the same day or very similar to that event.
You know, I mean, so one of the things that I want to ask you, just in regards to just artificial intelligence in general, when it comes to this. So this all sounds amazing, but a lot of people out there are more grassroots and they're involved and they don't have the highest budgets and those sorts of things. And they go, well, you talk about Barcelona and you talk about, you know, Atletico, you know, these big places that are using this type of services and, you know, NFHS and all of that. How can I, if I'm a young parent out there, you know, with a young kid or whatever, how can I use your technology for my 8 or 9 year old and it works for them?
So for that, we created the Pixelot Air, which is a mobile camera.
Okay.
I don't have it here, but
I will
ask someone to bring it immediately. So it will be exactly, this is what we're doing live. I'm actually creating tasks for people.
Wait, right now?
Yes, right now.
No way.
Yes, 1 second.
I
know, I'm multitasking.
It's the Israeli in you. It's the multifaceted.
Let's see if it works.
Okay.
First of all, let's see if it works, and then I will be able to show you. Because one of the things that parents always tell us is, you know, I want to film my son's game because I want to help. A lot of those parents are actually, you know, sideline coaches.
Yeah.
And video allows the youth coaches also to basically mute those parents that are constantly involved themselves in the way that the coaches are making the calls.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the coaches say, hey, just look at a video. This is the reason your son is not starting, or this is the reason your daughter is playing in this position or not. Yeah. Okay. And that's one of the things that we are allowing the coaches. So for the parents, actually, we created a mobile solution called the Pixelot Air, which is a camera that costs something like $800, I think, or $900. And you have a monthly subscription or an annual subscription.
Is that on top of the $800?
On top of the $800. Okay, so it's a total cost of ownership per year of the first year of something like less than $2,000.
Okay.
If I recall. Now we have also a show special, 30% off the camera. Sorry for the shameless plugging. But you asked. Using that camera, we are allowing the parents to get a panoramic feed. And of course, the goalkeepers need to understand a different element of the game. The goalkeepers, coaches, and the parents, they need to understand a different way. Because where did he stand during the counterattack that, you know, he wasn't focused? Why? And goalkeepers, I know my son, one of my best friend's sons is the goalkeeper of Maccabi Tel Aviv, which is very famous. He's in the under 10, the under 11.
Yeah.
And he knows you have to be focused all the time. You cannot lean on the goalpost. You cannot check your phone. You cannot, you know.
But hold on. Is there a 10-year-old with a phone out there?
No. It's just like.
I know kids are entitled now, but I would just think.
Or something along that. But like leaning back just like, you know, stretching your arm. You know, this is
hands on the hips.
Exactly.
Hands on the hips.
Hands on the hips,
right?
Of course.
Hands on the hips.
And it's intense. Yeah. And you have to be that focused all the time.
Yeah.
Because, and when you have video, you can work on that.
Okay.
And when you have the panoramic video that, you know, the attack is on that end, but here's the goalie on the other hand.
Okay.
And this is what he's doing with the panoramic video that we are offering. You can watch that all the time and ignore that the action, or just like, you know, paying that the type of action that is happening on the other end of the field to be, you know, in the background. But you need to understand what he did to prevent the counterattack or actually miss that counterattack.
So here's one of the things that I see a lot of times when it comes to parents filming, and that is that they don't understand what their young player needs to see. So I can't tell you how many times I get footage from parents saying, I'd like you to work with my U12 or U11 or whatever. Here's some game footage of them. Well, it's you in the stands cheering, first off, which I can't hear, and you're following the ball the entire time. And your kid plays a goal, and you want me to teach them how to defend the space, defend the area, all of that. And all I can see is them either moving back and forth very fast or very slowly, but I don't actually see how they're organizing. I don't see how they're working with the shape and all that sort of stuff. So does the AI do this for the parents so they don't have to worry about it?
The AI follows the action as the game. But for goalies, it's a different type of a need. The goalies need to have the entire panoramic view, the tactical feed, we call it.
Okay.
And even the tactical feed, which we are working, for example, we provide tactical feed for La Liga, LFP, Serie A. All of them are using our tactical feed because it's a bird eye view of all the stadium, but it's actually following the 20 players on the field. They're ignoring the goalkeeper.
Because they sometimes, now they offer that like on the big broadcast, they sometimes offer the alternative feed and it's the tactical feed.
Some of the big broadcasting are using our feed.
That's your feed?
Some of them, on the Serie A, for example, in Italy, they're using our feed.
Oh, wow.
And now they're going to do that in other leagues around the world because that bird's eye view and following the formation and tactical allows you to understand where the formation weaknesses are and analyze the attacks. And in that way, you can also optimize the position of the goalkeepers in order to prevent those type of, as you said, the box, where he is in the box, in the penalty box. So why did he move so far ahead and not go back when they took the ball and the possession was switched? These types of insights are so valuable for the top competition. And now we're making this technology go to grassroots. And in the show, we're actually also now launching our cooperation and integration with PlayerMaker, who is doing wearables. They have a wearable on the shoe that counts the passes, the touches, the possession, and everything is then uploaded into our analytics platform, and you can automatically understand everything that happens on the game, everything that happens for each player, create a highlight for that player.
Yeah.
So for example, if you're a goalkeeper and you get to have all the goal kicks or all the goal, all the kicks towards the goal and the game after the game, imagine that at the end of the game brought to the coach or the goalkeeper coach, so you can see the possession or the position of every kick that the other team challenged him.
So question for you, so like when I go on Y Scout, for instance, like a lot of the times they will have that in the scouting videos that I can see. Like,
if they have video.
If they have video.
And that's the element.
Okay.
If they have video, a lot of the time they don't have that video. And we provide it.
Okay.
And we provide it for them.
Gotcha. Now, so question in regards to that. So one of the things that's used a lot when it comes to goalkeeper training, let's say that we're not talking about the match now, let's just start talking about training, is the camera behind the goal. But a lot of times when it comes to the game analysis, they never get the camera behind the goal. Is that something that Pixelot does? Like, does the AI, are you guys ever set it up so to understand like how to deal with like camera behind the goal and like
a lot of the people thank you very much. Here is
I saw this
multitasking is working.
It looks like it's alive. Look at this thing.
It's
can I touch it?
Yeah,
can I hold?
Of course, from this, because it will piss it off and then will laser will be
I'm just kidding. It's literally looking at me. This thing is terrifying.
It is a little bit it's actually these are the two camera angles that provide you for with a 200 degree angle of the field, so it can be also on the sideline from 4 meters or 7 meters above. I'm sorry, I'm not with the feet.
That's
like 20 feet.
That's okay.
Or
I don't know meters either. So it's like, so it's you can like, just be like, it's 70 meters. So, I'm so like,
it's like 12 feet or 20 feet. Or it's like something that is standard in terms of the transition.
So is it light? Hold on.
It's very light. It's about
Look at that. I can even hold the thing.
Exactly. So this is how we are working. This is and here in the back, you're able to plug it in and everything that you can start uploading when you come home. So it's let me see if the Mevo will like it or not.
The Mevo and the Pixelot might be warring. Like this right here now looks like an AI competition between these two.
And now it's moving away.
Oh my God! No, but cameras have wars. I don't know.
I don't know. It's like the Terminator.
How does it get? Like, if there's a VO nearby, does it freak out or anything like that?
No, actually, VO has a similar product. They're a great company. We are. They have that specific camera. We have an entire solution with fixed cameras and mobile cameras. Mm-hmm. We provide monetization options as well for the club. For example, if he wants to have all the games broadcast to the parents, he can basically create an OTT platform, which is like a channel.
So the parents don't have to drive 2.5 hours?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So imagine a parent and a club admin creating a channel for its club. And you can just raise a little bit the price of the membership per year and provide the cameras, provide the video for the parents, provide the live stream and provide everything that is needed and the analytics for the parents. So it can connect them much better and connect the families, not only, you know, the parents, but the grandparents wants to see the game or, you know, the brothers in college, he wants to see the games of the youngsters. And that's one of the things that we are allowing to have that monetization opportunity.
You know, you bringing that up, that makes me think about college coaches, because obviously a lot of college coaches, you know, watch this show, is that, you know, a lot of them have to go to these tournaments, these ECNL showcases and Cal South show state cups and all that sort of thing for the recruiting aspect. Is this an alternative for some universities who might not have it in the budget to send a full group of coaches to come and watch players?
It's again, it's a question of, you know, what you want to focus on.
Okay.
So the video, once you have a video and once you have either this device or a fixed installation device at the college, like for example, we work with the CCAA and they have around all the colleges, they work with our systems. And they provide a standardized view of all the games that are happening in that conference. So when you have like a conference type of a tournament or an event, it can provide for you a way to get the same view for every game. So to be objective. And another element is officiating.
Yeah.
Officiating is huge in Europe, because a lot of the federations that we work with, and we work with a lot of national federations, from the Argentinian world champion, our partners in Argentina, all the way to Malta and Israel and even San Marino.
Gotcha.
And so they are working on making the officiating element much better. So, for example, not only self criticism, but also understanding discipline, understanding what is happening with the level of refereeing. And this is something that allows that standardization to get.
Yeah. Now, you know, you bring up refereeing, and I was actually just thinking about that too, because like there's a lot of referees, obviously, who come to these kind of conferences as well too. And officiating, you know, they get a bad rap. I would never be able to be a referee.
Oh my God.
Or whatever. But I would think that if you're an official, especially at the youth level, having the ability to have these cameras. Have you thought about implementing VR and that sort of thing? You know, not VR, sorry, not virtual reality. VAR. It's early in the morning. Look, we had our first day of a convention yesterday. All were on a tarmac for 4 hours. So
VAR is one of the most talked about, after the previous World Cup, when it actually changed the world of soccer. There is nothing that you can actually do. Now, VAR is something that needs to be immediate. It needs to be on the spot, and it needs to not interrupt the flow of the game.
Okay.
And we have that opportunity. We are providing video assisting refereeing for a lot of the competition that are working with us. But for the youth level, that budget is a little bit challenging. And we are not. But what you can do is after the game or shortly after the incident that happened, a few minutes after, you cannot stop the game for a few minutes.
Yeah, of course.
But you can work on and see what is happening in multiple areas of the. So in colleges, we have a internal network of cameras that are connected to an iPad, and you can see that. So for the colleges that have a little bit of budget, we can provide that type of main camera and then assisting cameras to have in the sidelines to watch it from multiple angles of the game. Yeah. We do that a lot in baseball and softball. This is something that we are also bringing to
soccer. I feel like I've just opened this Pandora's box type of thing, because now I'm just gonna have a bunch of parents like reaching out. It's like, oh, just like, well, so it is possible to do VAR. Well, like, listen, I need to talk to my club and see if they can put it in the budget.
It's not something that I think will be. Look, at the end of the day, it's participation.
Yeah.
It's becoming a player. It's understanding that sometimes life isn't fair.
Yeah.
And that's one of the elements that, you know, officiating allows you as a parent to, hey, life sometimes isn't fair. Yeah. You have to understand that people make mistakes, and that these mistakes sometimes have an impact on you. And a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old should know that.
I think also, you know, one of the good things about that, I love the fact that you brought that up, because we bring this up with young goalkeepers all the time. And the reason I'm bringing up goalkeepers specifically, because goalkeeper parents are ones who are very much into wrong call, right call a lot of the times, because it's usually a final action type of moment. So it's usually striker parents or goalkeeper parents that are very involved in this. You know, occasionally a defender, a handball, that type of thing, but whatever. But the thing is that they're so fixated on, did the ball cross the line? Did it not cross the line? Was that offside? Was that not offside? As opposed to focusing on, it's like, okay, what did my young, you know, boy or girl, you know, what decision did they make that maybe they can learn from that decision to make a different decision, you know, and there might be a different circumstance, you know, a different result based on that. And I think you're bringing up such a great point that if we just add the VAR element to it, the learning goes away from that.
And handling frustration is one of the core characteristics of a successful athlete. Understanding that not everything is in your control, and accepting that is one of the character building elements of every athlete. I have a friend who is a goalkeeper, and he tells me all the time, you know, having video and having data will never allow me to replace experience. And that's why goalkeepers peak at the later stage in their lives as an athlete. Goalkeepers can peak at 30.
Yeah.
Not strikers can never peak at 30.
Yeah.
And that's the experience. What?
It was just bad joke about Ronaldo being 38 years old.
38 is 38.
Yeah.
but Gigi Buffon celebrated 45.
That's insane. Isn't he still playing?
And he's still playing.
That's right. He went back to his original club, right?
Exactly. Oh, and that's a legend. I had the privilege of watching him play in the Euro in 2016.
For a second, I thought you were going to say, that's my friend that's the goalkeeper.
No, I'm not that well connected. But yeah. And it's an amazing opportunity. And we see that, you know, a lot of we talked about futsal and we talked about handball, which is a smaller goal, but they get hit a lot. I mean, those goalkeepers are crazy in terms of because it's a faster, it's a closer range most of the time, and they get hit a lot. So so a lot of the goalkeeping practices in Israel are also working with handball players and soccer and futsal players, because the futsal players are very
technical. Is handball
really
big in Israel?
It's huge.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's the number three sports, I think, after basketball and football. It's huge. It's an amazing game. I mean,
no, I want to play it. It looks so much
you
fun.
Just adopted soccer 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
There is a way to go with handball. Yeah. And it's
if anybody here wants to start a professional handball league, let me know.
Oh my god, it's amazing. And it's the best, I think one of the best games to watch live.
Okay. So question for you in regards to like what you were just bringing up earlier in regards to like futsal, and indoor soccer, that sort of a thing, because a lot of times here in the United States, I know a lot of you guys are watching worldwide, you're in an area where you can't train full time all year round and you do a lot of indoor training. Is this a device that works well in small areas as well too, or does it have to be a big field?
No, actually, in smaller fields, in smaller like courts, like futsal, for example, you can use even use a GoPro.
Oh, okay.
Because you have to have why we are called pixel.
Okay.
Because you have to have enough pixels to create a video that will actually make any sense in terms of the audio, in terms of the data. So, for example, I film my kids' basketball game on a futsal court using a GoPro that is in the bleachers. So if you have like 6 or 7 meters, sorry. If you have like 15, 20 meters from the sideline, you can use a GoPro, which films in 4K. And then you can film that. You don't need this camera. It's a small camera. It's only one game. So a GoPro can go for 50 minutes without, burning your hands. That allows a lot of the leagues to use that GoPro also for more inexpensive technologies to live stream the events.
Yeah.
For example, we do the futsal league in the UAE, and a lot of the year in the UAE you cannot play outside.
It's 130 degrees. I don't know what that's in Celsius.
I have no idea. Yeah. We need to talk about communication with metric. We need to have like tables of metric and centimeters and
metric
and Fahrenheit. So it's 130 as you said. And so futsal is really popular because it brings the possibility of having very good football players playing indoors in a AC conditions. So futsal is an amazing game. We just had a few months ago in our office, we celebrated the 1 million games of football.
Oh, wow.
And we brought in Ronaldinho and Falcao, who is like the Michael Jordan of futsal.
Yeah.
And they were
Falcao. The same Falcao?
Not the Radamel, the futsal Falcao.
Oh, there's a futsal Falcao.
There's a futsal. It is unbelievable. If you Google and YouTube his highlights, you would be, jaw-dropping skills.
Gotcha.
Okay. He is just incredible. So all of them came to our office to play and have like, we had Sean Garnier and Natalia, all the top skillers and futsal players in the world. And people came by the thousands to see them play.
Oh, wow.
And it was an incredible way for you to get the excitement of football in an indoor in the summer in indoor place and get the skills of football, because soccer is a lot of
you can call it because you're talking about futsal too.
Futsal is
so football. Futsal,
it's not futsal.
There's not futsal.
We're inventing a new sport, which is a great start.
It's going to be a new league with the team handball league.
Amazing. It's on the league. Same court, on the same goalies. Exactly. And so if you have a futsal court, for example, we work a lot with multi-venue operators that have like 4 or 6 futsal courts, and they have a channel.
Yeah.
And that on that channel, after you are playing with your team, you can watch the game. You can pay a little bit of money to save it or to access the data afterwards. And this is something that allows a lot of the futsal. And futsal is not huge in this country, but it's growing.
Yeah.
And we are working on that 5-a-side sometimes, even outdoor in the UK, or 7-a-side. It's very small football courts to provide that. So, as you talked about, not going to be year-round, 100%. Yeah. And we also see that in the Nordics.
So I have a question for you, because we're talking about the AI and, is there a specific committee? Did you go like, okay, we need to talk to so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so to help us build our code? Or did you just use an amalgamation of successful actions and camera angles in the past to kind of create the code?
One of the things that help us become stay in the leadership position is having so much video to perfect the AI.
Okay.
When AI has learning patterns, a lot of learning. Look at ChatGPT, how it's changing the world, because it has so much data to learn from and create that type of patterns in order to create that perfect article or whatever. When you have that much data, you're able to understand all the angles and the ways that the game can go wrong.
Okay.
And for I'll tell you a story that happens to us. That happened to us about 3 years ago. There was a league in the one of the minor leagues in Scotland, and the sun was in front of the camera, and the goal and the football is yellow in Scotland in that league, and on the sideline there was a linesman, and that linesman was bald. And when the camera that was looking for the ball did not see the ball, it started focus on the bald head of the camera of the linesman. That linesman, because he was standing on the on the lines, his head was actually in in the frame. So it was it went viral, and it proved that AI is not perfect.
Yeah.
But it also caused something that is a way for people to understand that this is opportunity that is happening.
Yeah.
AI can film football games. AI can do that. So if you talked about, you know, the amount of data that is needed to understand the game states, we learned that through artificial intelligence and through our work with the top clubs, because our work with the top clubs allows us to understand what the needs are that AI cannot automate.
Okay, gotcha.
If you're working with Real Madrid, and Real Madrid says, I need all the, or Barcelona, whatever, I need this type of video to be filmed during the practice. Okay.
By the way, is Madrid the club that has the AI robots that do the set pieces? Is that Real Madrid that has that?
I don't.
I thought that I could have sworn there was a club out there that instead of using humans, they have not mannequins, like they have AI robots that know when to jump, how to move, all of that to simulate players.
I saw it.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of that club, but that's and they jump doing that, and that's creating an additional level of reality.
Yeah. So that kind of leads me to my next question is like, because I've heard that from that, they're starting, it starts learning and it's teaching, it's kind of evolving basically. So does your AI evolve? Because obviously it's learning, but does it evolve? Is AI teaching AI now, essentially, as opposed to humans just teaching AI?
This is what we are doing. AI is not teaching AI, but it helps create more data to the AI to learn. So you can say that.
Okay.
Because really, artificial intelligence is like different types of neural networks that are, you know, there's like machine learning, deep learning. It's always like what type of a neural network you're building and how deep that goes into understanding the patterns. And the deeper it goes, the more it simulates the human brain.
Okay.
That's what I was told. I have no idea.
Okay.
And as more video is out there, as more production is out there, as more cases, like for example, sometimes we have like in the lower divisions mascots like chickens running on the field.
Yeah.
Or just like plastic bags just like wandering into the field. And sometimes the camera mistakes that
for the ball.
For the ball. Especially if they doesn't see the ball. Now we have so much data, so we know the patterns of nylon plastic bags.
Oh.
So we know not to follow him or butterfly or even snowflakes. So
I didn't realize that.
So the challenges are continuously allowing you to involve.
Yeah.
And from failure, you learn. And the AI learns more from failure than from success.
Okay. Gotcha. That's good to know because, you know, honestly, like I think one of the things that kind of concerns people when it comes to any sort of automated system is that just like, for instance, like right now, one of the reasons I was having issues with you right now is because there was another update. There was another update and it's like, oh, sorry, can't use this right now because you got to update. You got to update to the next program. Is that a concern when you're using Pixel programs or do they automatically update so that you're never going to be in a situation where you load up your camera, it's on there and it's kind of, this is 4 years technology type of thing. It's always constantly growing.
When you know that, for example, in this device, the Pixelot Air, when you're taking it home and you're connecting it online, it means that the game is not played.
Okay.
Then it updates the program automatically.
Okay.
It will never update it
during the game. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
On the live production cameras, which are installed, permanently installed, you know, for 3 or 5 years, and updates are happening automatically in when it's off, when it's not shooting.
Okay.
So that's the idea.
Do you hear that, Mevo? Don't have it happen while it's actually going on.
Okay. That's what happened with Mevo? Well,
that's what happened with Mevo right now.
And that's
said
why
you had to update. Again,
Well, Mevo, I love it.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I love Mevo. Okay. And I think it's a great tool for podcasting, for live shows, for all kinds of clip creation. It's not there for sports yet, but you know, that's why we are here.
There you go. Well, Yossi, I do have a few more questions for you just in regards to this. First off, you brought up your stand-up comedy background. What a transition. For those of you guys, we were talking earlier, I'm a comic as well.
Really?
So I'm a professional comic. I had my first major label album 4 years ago.
So that's why the name is familiar.
Yeah.
I was like, I think that name rings a bell.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that's my whole other life that some people here know all about.
So let's go talk about comedy.
Yeah, we can go talk about comedy. Actually, if you want to do Spot of Helium tonight.
I registered for
tonight. You're doing a Helium?
Are you doing it?
No. Yeah,
I was there last night.
Oh, you were Helium last night? Okay. Yeah. Was Rachel Fogletto there? Do you know Rachel?
So.
She's the house MC there. So
No. There was a different guy. He wasn't there.
That's a great club, though.
It's huge. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Low ceiling. Yeah, perfect surrounding.
It's a really nice club. We have the NWSL draft tonight, and that's where Saskia is at right now. So I'm going to go to that tonight.
Is it?
It's somewhere here at the convention. I don't know. We could yell out. Anybody know where the draft is going?
But it's here.
It's here in the convention center. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can just go.
Okay.
Yeah. You can just go. So,
but I'm only women. I cannot get drafted.
You cannot get drafted.
Okay.
No. Unless, did you register for the draft?
Not yet.
Okay. You should go register for the draft. Actually, I think the cutoff's already done. So, it depends on how much eligibility you still have left in college, you know, so all that sort of thing. No, we're very, very excited about it. You know, it's is covering it right now. I love how I'm just talking to you right now, like it's not being recorded right now. I was like, no, we're just talking about this. But with comedy and everything like that, how did you get involved in a project? Because I'll be honest with you, like right now with the Union app, we're in a tech accelerator and I'm meeting a lot of people in coding and computer engineering and everything. And, social skills is not their thing. So it's such a completely different creative outlet. Like, how did you get involved in all this?
Look, marketing is a lot of storytelling.
Okay.
And who does better storytelling than comedians?
True, very true.
To understand, you know, what
I like how you're whispering it too, like it's a secret, like so no one else here can hear about
it. We are storytellers. Okay. Please. Accept us for who we are. I do marketing. I've been doing marketing for more than 10 years. It's always been my passion to tell stories of brands, to tell stories of products. And I had the opportunity to join Pixelot when we were 50 people.
Okay.
And I came from online advertising. All my life I've been, you know, combining marketing and comedy.
Really?
A lot of the most popular Facebook and Instagram pages of comedians in Israel, I opened.
No way.
Yeah, in like 2007, 2008.
That's crazy.
And they didn't know. And then I taught a lot of the leading comedians in Israel today.
Do you know Anushka Rava?
No.
Okay. She was in Israel for a minute. She's in France now.
So we are. I always have that online technology type of element in my life. I'm not a coder. I'm not a programmer. Yeah. But I love online. I love technology. I love the constant innovation. And it had led me to Matomi, one of the main companies that did online advertising when it was at its peak, 2013, 15. And after that, I came to Pixelot in 2017.
Really?
And you know those moments that your story is being written by faith.
Yeah.
I was in the office at 6 o'clock in the evening, and my son, I have three boys, so it's a sports family.
Okay.
So my middle son, he was playing soccer in his practice, and my wife called me, and she said, "You should have seen Omar now. He ran through three players and scored a goal, making like a fake shot to the goalie. The goalie jumped and he kicked to the other side."
Oh,
all
wow.
The parents just like were shouting.
Oh,
and
wow.
You missed it. And I said, "You know what I'm doing right now? I'm working in a company that is supposed to prevent this from parents miss those moments."
Yeah.
And that's where it hits me. Because how much would you have paid to see that?
Yeah.
So imagine that type of understanding of, hey, I'm not, look, we're not saving lives.
Yeah.
I'm not curing cancer. Yeah. I'm not going to be an automated car, you know, but we're making life much more fun.
Yeah.
We're making parents become more involved in their children's education and sports. And that has a lot of impact.
Yeah.
And, you know, saving lives and making, you know, blind people see again with technology is incredibly important.
Yeah.
But we need to focus also on making life better.
Exactly.
And that's what we do.
That's amazing, man. I mean, that's such a touching, heartwarming way.
I have so many stories. I have a story for you. I'll share with you.
Okay.
Talking about parents.
Yeah.
We work with the NFHS and we work with the NFHS network to broadcast a lot of the games that are happening. And a few years ago, they shared with us a story about a father who is a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
And he was stationed in Afghanistan. And he wrote to the network, to the NFHS network. He said, I want to thank you so much for allowing me to watch my daughter play basketball for the first time. And he said, you know, he was watching her at 3 a.m. at the barracks, crying his eyes out because he was able to see her for the first time play.
Oh, wow.
And as a parent, every time I tell this, my eyes is a little bit moist because I know how important it is and how passionate I am being in the stands where my sons are playing handball or basketball or soccer for that matter.
Yeah.
And that's something that you cannot, you know, we always say in Pixelot, we don't broadcast the famous players, but we broadcast the important ones.
Mm.
And those are the important ones.
Yeah.
Your son, your daughter, your little brother. And that's where we are. And that's why the revolution that we are creating is so important to so many millions of families around the world.
Yeah. And that's a great way to just kind of circle it back in regards to the whole element of all of this. I mean, Yossi, I appreciate you taking the time. I don't want to take you. I know you've got probably have to get ready for the exhibit hall that's set up. I think it's 6 o'clock tonight.
Yes, we're starting at 6 o'clock. And if anyone here is in Philadelphia, is welcome to drop by. We're in booth 909. We have good coffee. I brought Nespresso from Israel.
Oh, you brought good coffee.
Yes.
Okay.
Not filter American, European, because it's soccer. It's a European. Okay.
A little bit better than the hotel. So.
It's like, this is coffee. This is not coffee.
Oh my gosh, man. Well, if people want to connect with you, where's the best place for them directly to connect with you?
You can find Pixelot online at Pixelot LTD on Instagram.
Okay.
My email is Yossi, Yossit.
You're going to give away your email.
My
online.
Email, okay. Of course. Right. I am available. I'm not a celeb. This is not Yossi, Yossit at pixelot.tv. And of course, on online, whatever, you know, Instagram, TikTok, OnlyFans. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. We can connect and follow us on LinkedIn.
Awesome, man. So that's the best place to connect with that, guys. Obviously, if you want to reach out to us guys directly, it's at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union Community app. If you're not on the Union yet, guys, I don't know what you're doing. It's a free app. Connect, engage, educate, entertain one another. Awesome forums. Awesome creators. Check that out. Obviously, Saskia Weber as well there at Saskia Weber. Contact at InsideThe18Media.com if you have a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion. Shout out to all the people, by the way, who've been saying, hey, you need to do an episode talking about artificial intelligence and cameras and all that crazy technical stuff.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. I mean, an episode that has nothing to do with comedy, you know? We're gonna have an actual expert in next time. No, honestly, Yossi, this has been awesome, man. I actually run an international comedy show twice a week in Santa Monica. We have comics from all over the world on, audiences from all over the world and stuff like that. So we'll definitely have to connect, man. And I have an online show, too, that we do on Sundays that people watch from all over the world, too.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Did you do the couch comedy during COVID as well?
No. What's couch comedy?
It's like an indoor Zoom comedy that was very popular during COVID days. You remember COVID?
I remember COVID. Yeah. No, well, we have an online show that started during COVID that we continue doing. It's through a company called KO Comedy, and it's a virtual comedy club.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people tune in. We have fans all over the world.
You know Avi Lieberman?
Who?
Avi Lieberman.
Of course I know Avi. I've known Avi for years.
Exactly. So yeah. That's why I know your name.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Avi.
Yeah, you have to come to Israel for comedy for Kobe.
I need to reach out to him for that because He does that all the time.
Yeah, just come. He's on his way to Israel to do another tour.
He's doing it all the time.
Every six
months. He's there more than he's here.
Yeah, well, I understand.
I mean, he only comes back here to watch the Houston Astros play baseball. I think that's pretty much why he does it.
And he loves the Astros.
Yeah, he loves the Astros.
And by the way, the Astros.
He likes the Texans too, unfortunately. He likes the Rockets, unfortunately. So.
Dusty Baker was one of our guys.
No way.
Yeah, and he's in the Positive Coaching Alliance with our head of with our president. David Shapiro.
Oh, that's crazy.
So he's a good, he knows Pixelot. He's been working with Pixelot.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, we have in baseball, I know it's off topic a little bit, but we have in baseball the first multi-camera solution that has an automatic director that switches between the cameras based on the game state. So it's the first multi-camera solution, and we work with the MLB in the draft league, and his son played with the draft league.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's one of the reasons that he knows.
Is this the son that was the famous one that like almost got hit because when he was like 5 years old, he went running onto the field to grab the bat?
I don't know, but I know it's a good story about it. Yeah,
it's a crazy thing that happened with that.
But Dusty's a great guy.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. So I grew up in the Bay Area, so like back when he was the Giants manager and all that stuff. So it's pretty crazy stuff. All right, guys. Yossi and I are just going to keep talking, but we're done with you guys. So that's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later,
thank
guys.
You. Yeah!